Oh, my goodness. Stu. We found out today in today's podcast, sadly, that you are a godless heathen.
I don't think that's accurate.
And an hopeless godless heathen. But most godless heathens are hopeless. So we learn a great lesson from Stu being a godless
I hate you.
we also have a great, I mean, I love this guy, Flash Shelton. Yeah, he's a guy who is taking back houses from squatters. You're going to love this interview. Also, the $20 minimum wage for fast food workers only in California. Who are they hurting there? Also, Ford delays production on their EVs for a good reason. And Richard Verner, he is a part of my podcast. It'll come out tomorrow. He's an amazing, world-renowned economist who actually coined the term quantitative easing. He is warning against the central bank takeover of the money through a central bank digital currency. He explains what it is, how the chips, he has already seen the chips to be implanted just under the skin. It is a little terrifying, and you'll understand the banking world in ways you've never understood it before. Don't miss that. That's a little bit of it on this podcast and tomorrow's podcast as well. Here it is. First, when you're target practicing, the whole time you're standing there looking downrange at a man-shaped target, and you're thinking, shoot him in the head, shoot him in the head, shoot to kill. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't shoot to wound. You know, I gotta shoot him in the hand. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You draw your gun, you should be prepared to kill that person, or don't draw your gun. I'd like a couple of options. You know, if I'm in the car and there's a gang approaching, I wouldn't mind having my gun, but I'd like to start with something else. How about tear gas? The Byrna launcher, it is so much better than pepper spray or anything else. Looks like a gun. It's a kinetic round that you can hit somebody within 60 feet and take them down. You hit within 5 feet of them with one of their tear gas pellets, and they're down for about 45 minutes. Byrna, BYRNA.com/Glenn. Everybody in my family has one. It's legal to have one. It's over 18, but you don't need a license. You don't need background checks. Nothing legal in all 50 states. Byrna, BYRNA.com/Glenn. Get a 10% discount now at Byrna.com/Glenn.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. It is Friday.
You know, on Friday nights, you used to go into Blockbuster, Glenn? And you go like, it's the drama section.
Right.
Romantic comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The action section.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you get to the horror section. And that's where I've been living all week.
Really? The horror section?
Because I've been looking at lots of charts.
And oh,
you know
boy.
Me. I like my charts.
Yeah.
And I've been slowly convincing myself over the past week that the media is going to be successful in convincing the American people the economy is good. You know they're going to lay this on thick. And we know what the reality is, but it's the media versus reality. And I'm getting scared, more and more scared that the media is going to succeed in this effort, mm-hmm. and Joe Biden is going to win. So I'm terrifying myself all week long.
Okay, so let me just call you Shaffet for now.
Okay.
Shaffet. Mm-hmm. You know the meaning of that name, Shaffet? No?
Not off the top of my head, no.
How about Shamua?
That one sounds familiar.
Shaffet, Shamua, mm-hmm. Egal,
mm-hmm.
Palti.
Yeah.
You recognize any of these names?
They kind of sound familiar.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to reveal what they
Emil,
are?
Emil, Sethur,
mm-hmm.
Nabi.
Nabi.
Yeah, Nabi.
Mm-hmm.
Ghoul.
Ghoul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ever heard of any of those names?
I mean,
you kind of have, right?
Right.
You're like, there's a list of weird names. I've read that before.
Sure.
And usually it's like Begat is in between.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know those are probably Bible names.
Yep.
You have no idea.
I don't remember
are.
What story they're from.
Don't know.
No.
Okay. So
Remember when God delivered the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt? Mm-hmm. And they were all crybabies. And the minute they hit, you know, the water, they're like, oh, I don't know. We should go back to Europe. Or go back to, not Europe, go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Right? And they, you know, it was supposed to be 11-day walk and it turned into 40 years because of what God, you know, because of the response that God had when 12 leaders, Shaphat, mm-hmm. people like you,
okay,
Moses picked 12.
Right. Yeah.
They went in.
I don't think this is going to turn out well for
it's
me.
It's not. It's okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moses says, you guys go into the promised land and see what it looks like.
Promised
what kind
land
of people live?
Nice.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Milk and honey, right?
Yeah.
See if there's any walls around the city, you know, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Bring back some fruit of the promised land. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not making this up. This it was grape season. And the grapes were so big, it took two men to carry a cluster of them, okay? Really good land that God was giving them. Look at the size of the grapes, right? But it wasn't just the grapes. Big grapes mean big people. And the people who were living there, they were huge too. So the spies came back, and what did they say?
Oh, we can't take that land. We can't do it. We can't do it. Yeah, it's flowing with milk and honey, like God said, but the city walls are gigantic. And the giants there make us look like grasshoppers.
They really use grasshoppers.
They're giants. We look like grasshoppers.
Sure.
Okay. So there were two other people that they were spies too. And they were like, no, we got God on our side. We can do this. Okay. And then everybody started, I wish we were back in Egypt. We should go back to slavery. This Moses guy. They were totally without hope. Okay. So the two guys, they start saying, no, God's with us. This is great land. Don't give up your hope now. That didn't work. And everybody tried to stone them to death.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I don't know what this has to do with my election
do
analysis.
Do you know who Caleb and Joshua are?
I know several Calebs and
Caleb
Joshuas.
And Joshua in this context. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of those names?
I'm sure that means it's something that's going to mean bad things for me. That's what I know.
Let me break this down for you.
Sure, please do.
Let me break this down for you. In every journey that seems insurmountable, there will always be voices like Stu.
What do you mean? Insurmountable? We have a decrepit man with Alzheimer's who's losing in every swing state. This isn't. That's not the feel of the moment.
Weren't you the one that? Your voice was clouded with fear and doubt. Yes.
Yes, that's true. That right. I am clouded with fear and doubt.
And you often forget the extraordinary power of our God. That's used
I
to.
Don't forget that at all.
You forget it all the time.
I do not forget
all
that.
All the time.
I do not.
You were like the 10 spies.
I was not like the 10 spies.
You were.
I'm just
despair,
we might
unable
be a little too
to
optimistic.
See past the challenges that there are big grapes waiting for you. You know?
I didn't reference grapes at all.
That's why names like Stu and Shaphat, you know, their names overshadowed by their doubt, faded in the backdrop of history, just gone. However, the two spies and others like them, who remain very humble, they have a radical different perspective. They knew the strength and the promise that lay with the faith in God. See, they looked beyond the giants, Stu. They saw potential. They saw hope. They saw the fulfillment of promise underpinned by the unwavering belief in the power of God. Their names, unlike your name, is endured through millennia. Not because they face lesser challenges. No. But because they chose to see those challenges differently. It was their unyielding belief in vision that led them to be remembered. In the face of challenges, we should be more like Joshua and Caleb and remember, just don't be Stu.
How did I know?
Remember
that's where it was
gonna end? The voices of doubt, both external like Stu's and internal like Stu's, will fade away. But the courage to believe in what seems impossible, that echoes through eternity.
I don't
so
know.
So let your faith be stronger than fear. And your vision, don't let that be guided by the obstacles in your path, but by instead the boundless power of your belief. Because in every challenge, Stu, there lays an opportunity. For instance, my challenge today was, how can I make you look stupid and feel insignificant? And then your challenge.
A very godly challenge, by the way.
It is.
Put yourself
it
up
is.
To.
No,
really,
it is.
Really have. It is. It's just it right is. Out of it the Bible. You're in Bible country.
We are in Bible. Well, well, anyway, so, and then your obstacle, your challenge that you presented gave me this opportunity.
I suppose
because
that's true.
I
you
faith.
Didn't address any of my concerns at all.
Faith. I have determination to overcome.
So you're no longer worried about the election. You're
it
just
is
assuming
not
it's
the
all going to come out.
Voices that tell us, you know, that we're never going to make it, that we'll be remembered. No. It'll be those who, against all odds, believe that we can. And I believe that we can.
So no more, you're not going to worry about the election. No more fretting from Glenn Beck for the next 6 months?
No, Stu, no.
No?
Just because you have faith in God doesn't mean that you don't have to go in and fight those giants.
Which is what I was bringing up, by the way.
No, you're bringing in fear.
I was bringing
Sarah,
in fear. I will say, you should be scared.
Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt.
Don't fear and doubt. I will say, I have both
Sarah,
fear and doubt.
Sarah, I want you on the record right now. That's what you heard, right? Fear and doubt.
That's what America heard. I
that's
completely admit I was bringing up fear and doubt. The whole point of my
Well, it has no place here, Stu.
It does have a place here. We better be scared, and we better freaking not be sure of ourselves.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We have to be sure that our God is bigger than Stu's fear.
That's 100% true. I'm not saying...
Right.
I'm
right.
just saying,
I'm glad
like,
to
when
see
you...
you're beginning to see the light.
No, that's I'm not being.
You're beginning to see the light.
There's light that you're describing. I've seen for a very
Let
long time.
Let your faith be stronger than Stu's fear. I know it's not hard because anything with Stu is very, very little and small and insignificant. That's what I hear. That's what I've heard.
That's what all the ladies say.
I to be serious, I am with you. I am. They seem to like know something that we don't know. You know, they seem to. It's like they.
You
just,
know, that's a great way to describe it. That's what it feels like.
It does. It's like, wait, you're doing what?
Like, how many polls have we seen in a row where they're like, "Hey, poll of 7 swing states, Trump leads in all of them," and they're like, "Oh, it's no big deal. Don't worry.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Hey, here's something else we're gonna do. Hey, you dummy, why don't you have an electric car yet? Oh, I don't have the money.
Get over yourself." Like, their legitimate election messaging is get over yourself.
Legitimate.
And
legitimate.
They're like, oh, we're going to win this. No
right.
problem.
And
why
so
do they think that?
Yeah, because they know something we don't know. Perhaps.
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 Like,
okay.
I'll give you this. In mid-2020, the economic index was minus 60. That's not good.
That's
just
not
in case
good.
You're,
yeah.
you
okay.
might not be new. You may be new to some of these measures. Minus 60 is not good.
Okay.
You don't win elections at minus 60.
Right. Okay.
It's gone from minus 60 to minus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, minus 20, also not good.
Right.
We are not at the position where people think, oh, this is a great economy. But it is moving significantly in the direction they want it to go in. And it goes, you look at previous elections. If you can get to about even, you can probably win. If you're below, if you're minus 10, minus 20, it's pretty hard. So I think, like, if the election was held right now today, I think Trump would win. However, we've got 7 months before an election. And in that 7 months, the media, the establishment, every single lever they have is going to be used to its full capacity to convince the American people that the economy is good. And if they are successful in that venture, Joe Biden will win. That is a scare. That is fear and doubt. Yes,
okay.
I agree.
Let me say this sincerely, not about you. I was obviously joking. But let me say this sincerely. The voices of doubt, both external and internal, they fade away in history. but the courage to believe in what seems insurmountable echoes through eternity. Let your faith be stronger than your fear. Understand that that requires you to act in faith. Don't look at the obstacles in your way. Do you have faith in miracles? Do you have faith in God? Have you gotten down on your knees and begged him for forgiveness of the sins of our country? Have you turned your face back to him? We win through our boundless belief that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is real, is alive, is engaged. Don't be the generation, don't be the people who lose this country because we doubt. Unwavering faith, determination to overcome. That's what will be remembered, and that's what will win. We must actively engage the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Beg for his blessings while doing the things that would bring those blessings on our heads. Turn back to God. Their arrogance will be their undoing. We have slipped from our pedestal here, and I think we did it a long time ago. Most of us just didn't notice, but when we started aborting children in the womb and saying that it was a fundamental American right, you know, I think we might have gone in the wrong direction. That's why the Ministry of Preborn is defending the life of babies and introducing an expecting mom to her unborn baby through free ultrasounds. When they do that, Preborn doubles the chances that mom is going to choose life. They've rescued over 280,000 babies through love and compassion and free ultrasounds, and every day they rescue 200 more. They've also offering assistance to the mom for up to 2 years after the baby is born so she doesn't feel alone. They're helping change the world. Would you like to help them? If you can donate anything, it would be great. $28 is the price of a free ultrasound. So if you want to sponsor a free ultrasound, you could do one, you know, donation $28 every month. You could do one every month, maybe save 12 babies in the year. $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/Beck. That's preborn.com/Beck. Now back to the podcast.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
I love this story, and I'm going to let him tell the story. Flash Shelton is with us now. He is the founder of Squatter Hunters. He's an anti-squatter activist leading the charge. Flash, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Is that really your first name, Flash? Your God-given name?
That is. Yes, it's my name since I was a kid, like everybody.
Right. Right, but not everybody has a name. Flash, you had cool parents,
right,
apparently.
And not everybody has a name that you have to live up to.
Right. Yes. And so you are. So tell me what happened in 2019 with your mom.
Yeah, my father had passed away, and we had moved my mom out of the house. It was up in a remote location up in Northern California. And so the family decided we needed to sell the house, moved her in with me, and we listed the house. And I get a, nothing was happening, and I get a report that there was a break-in and that someone had broken in the back door and that neighbors were seeing, you know, cars in the driveway and wondered if I rented the house. And I immediately called the sheriff. I told him that, you know, the house is vacant, that the back door was, you know, broken in. The deputy goes out there and says, yeah, you know, it's the door is broken in, but you said it was vacant and there's a house full of furniture. and there's nothing we can do. It appears you have squatters, and it's a civil matter. So, you know, blindsided, just like everybody. And yeah. those words are devastating when you start looking into squatters and their rights and how you have no rights. And so I just decided to, punch and kick the heavy bag for a bit. And then, I went to work just breaking down the laws and the rights, and figured out that if they could take a house, I could take a house. And I had read that someone, you know, that many have fake leases. And I thought, you know, it's like a 10, 12 hour drive. So I thought, well, I can't go up there and not have a lease in hand just in case. So my mom wasn't in the, you know, she just mentally wouldn't have been able to handle it. So I told her I was going up to do repairs on the house, but just wanted a lease since no one knew me, you know, really like up there. And, we got a lease, notarized it just in case, went up there. And I think I arrived in there like 4 a.m. and I just kind of parked down the street and watched, and I slept probably a bit, but around 8:30 in the morning, they pulled out of the driveway, and I was prepared with a new lock, cameras, an alarm system, and a lease. And they left, 3 cars, about 7. I counted like 5 men and 2 women. And so once they left, I went immediately, went in, and my key worked. The back door was still broken in. And I secured the back door, put up cameras, and they arrived as I was putting up the last camera over the driveway. And, you know, and I just basically told them that, you know, they that it was my house now, and there was an alarm and cameras, and, you know, that there would be evidence of break-in if they broke in on camera, I'd prosecute. And I told them that, you know, I have all the rights since I have possession. And it turned out one of them was a prison guard. And so, you know, she knew that she didn't have a leg, you know, to stand on. So I basically told them that they had till the end of the day to get their stuff out of the house, and or they would lose it. And I had already talked to neighbors, young guys, and set it up that I just said, hey, if like 5 p.m. there's no furniture on this driveway, then come over. You can have anything you want. Just help me get it out of the house. And they were like, yeah, dude, yeah, that would be awesome. So so they complied. And I told them that I was, you know, I was videoing. I had a YouTube channel. And I said, look, I'm going to, you know, you have a choice. I will expose you to the world, or I will share the story and blur your faces and not share your name. That's your choice. So either your life is going to change big time because everyone's going to know all about you. And they chose to comply and get out, and they were out. All the furniture was out before midnight, and I think they took the last load at like 2 a.m. out of the driveway. So that video is like 5.9 million views right now.
It's unbelievable. Now, you have gone kind of into business with this in a way, right?
Yeah. So I, the video popped up. I mean, I held on to it because of COVID, because I, you know, right now I'm America's hero, and I would have been America's villain if I kicked people out during COVID. So I held on to the video. I posted it January 20th, 2023. March, it went viral. March 10th, I was like news, you know, newsworthy. And then, people are asking me, like saying, hey, use your popularity to help people. So I announced on Jesse Waters that I was going to be fighting for a law change. And then I just figured, you know, not only to keep it in the media and keep it going and bring awareness to it, but I had all these people reaching out to me just asking for help. So I started helping, and I was helping for free, and I was, you know, and I was doing, I was just, it just consumed my life. So I decided to, you know, protect myself, not only with a business, but also just being able to officially help more people. So I created Squatter Hunters LLC, squatterhunters.com. And I've recruited now an army across the United States of, because there are, it's amazing how many people, and you know, and I give priority to ex-police officers, and even some active police officers have gotten approval to be able to help me in their off hours. And it's amazing because, you know, that my biggest supporters are law enforcement, because they wish they could
do something.
They wish, you know, they didn't sign up for the job to be, to have to, you know, walk away and let this happen. And, you know, and a lot of people blame law enforcement, but it's not them. They're not the ones that, that made this law and basically handcuffed themselves.
So when you guys go into a house now, you make them uncomfortable. You out squat them.
Yes. If they want to be in there with us, then absolutely. It's going to be very uncomfortable. It'll be cameras up in every room, except for their bedroom and the bathroom, of course. But, you know, it'll be very uncomfortable. Just, you know, in presence, but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty animated and, you know, and I'll just do whatever it takes to make them uncomfortable.
What are those things?
Well, I mean, it's like when you're sitting on the couch and, you know, in your underwear and you're, you know, pouring a box of cereal over you, like your Jabba the Hutt, you know, it's pretty, you know, but pretty intense, but, yeah. But you know, it typically doesn't get to that because most people, you know, these people are, they're regular. Well, besides being a narcissist and entitled, they're regular people. They don't want to, you know, they're banking on the fact that, you know, they deserve to be able to do this because the law allows, and why not live rent free? But, you know, we have a job, we have, you know, we go to the store, we go whatever. Until people are trying to get them out, they're not bunkered in. As long as they don't know like anything, and that's when I'm most effective, is when a squatter isn't expecting me, because they're expecting that first interaction with a homeowner. And then that homeowner told by police it's a civil matter, and then they're expected to receive a 3-day notice. Then they're expected to receive a 30-day notice, and then a 60-day notice. And they're expected to go through the civil process. So when all of a sudden they show up one day and I'm there with at least another guy or more, and they're locked out, and I'm showing them a lease, and I'm saying, look, I don't know who you are, but this is my house, and, you know, and oh my gosh, it came furnished. And then when they call the police, yeah, and then when they call the police, they, you know, they can only tell them it's a civil matter. I mean, they're not prepared for that. So, you know, but I spend a lot of time, and I tell people, look, you know, don't confront your intruder. You know, it's like, this is property. Don't risk your life. You know, I'm trained. You know, I'm certified in de-escalation. I'm trained physically, mentally, and, you know, and my guys are all trained. So, you know, it's not something that a homeowner, not only can you not do it legally, as we've seen already, and, you know, now some videos have gone viral with homeowners being arrested for just changing the locks. So homeowners can't do this. So it's very important. You know, contact me at squatterhunters.com, you know, consultation@squatterhunters.com. You just send your description of everything. We set up a Zoom meeting, and we break it down, simplify it. I give you advice. And if you need, you know, to hire my crew, then we'll come out and take care of business.
How do you get around the law that it is the homeowner hiring you to do it?
It's just kind of done a certain way. The homeowner can lease a property to me, and that's how it's done.
Okay.
Basically, they're leasing the property to me, and then I'm just gaining possession as the leaseholder.
It's interesting because you have, I think, a bunch of people who have a lot of power who, for whatever reason, like this system the way it's set up, that are going to try to get you on every little legal issue they can. They're going to try to ruin what you're doing, I think. I mean, are you worried about that at all?
Well, I'm sure they will. And, you know, the way I figure it out is that, you know, there have been, what, decades, 100 years this is going on, and what, a million attorneys, and they couldn't figure this out? So, you know, yeah, they'll try to outfox me, but I'll just come up with something new.
I love you. I love you. Flash, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Love it.
Flash Shelton, okay. It's squatterhunters.com, squatterhunters.com. God bless you, Flash.
One thing, if I can. One more thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The one way that everyone can help me, because my influence is what gets most of these squatters out. So just simply subscribing to my YouTube, Outside the Box with Flash, that's the most crucial thing, because usually I can just show that I'm going to spread the word and I'm going to expose their faces and they won't be able to lease in the future. That's the biggest thing. Just subscribe to my YouTube channel.
I love that. That's an easy sell. I'm there. Yeah. I'm there. I'm
out
subscribing.
Out of the box with Flash. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes.
God bless you,
guys.
You bet.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
So here's some good news. You know, the country has, you know, been told that we're going to get off of gasoline cars. We're going to be driving EVs in the future, the very near future. In fact, California and I believe 8 other states have now joined with California to say no more gasoline cars by 2035. We're going to be all EVs. Well, that's going to be, it's going to be fun to watch to see how that works out for them, isn't it? Ford has delayed production of their new electric vehicles by years now, because EVs are not selling. And so Ford's like, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we should slow down on this.
The splits on their business are incredible. Do you have those in front of you by any chance?
The splits on their business?
The splits between EVs and gas-powered vehicles. I'm going to miss these probably by a few $100 million or so. But my remembering of this is something like they've lost $3.5 billion on their electric vehicle business and gained $7 billion profit in their combustion engine business. So, like, they are actually a really healthy company if they didn't listen to the government.
What a surprise. Mm-hmm. Say that again. I can't believe that's true.
If they didn't follow the edicts of the government, they would be massively successful right now. And I think a lot of people look at Ford and they're like, oh, they've had their problems. Like, and they have over the years. Obviously, you know, go back to 2008 and such.
I look at Ford and think this is the end of the American car. I honestly
do.
It does feel like that.
Actually, they're doing pretty well. You know,
if it wasn't for
the EVs.
Yeah. So here's the actual spread. Ford's electric vehicle business lost, what'd you say, three?
I mean, that's me remembering it.
$4.7 billion.
Okay. I missed by $1.2 billion.
That's before interest and taxes. Mm. The division that makes gasoline and hybrid made $7.5 billion in profit. In profit.
So, again, that they're overall profitable solely because of their gas-powered side.
Yes, yes.
And they would have a much larger profit if not for the EVs. And the hybrids is an interesting thing where I think a lot of these companies are going to wind up landing because, you know, hybrids
aren't bad.
You know, I don't love them.
I don't love them either. I don't want one, but
I don't want one. But what I will say is it does solve the real negatives of the EVs in that you can just put gas in it if you want. So you don't have to worry about the charging craziness and all that other stuff. The plug-in hybrid is something.
Wait. What do you mean about the charging craziness? Joe Biden promised that he was going to build charging stations all across the country, and they've put in 7.
They have put in 7. So far, that has not really helped other than 7 people the situation all that much.
7.
I was talking to somebody
7.
Who works here who owns a Tesla recently, and she's like, you know, I thought it was cool, and it was great, and now I've had it for a few years, and You know, I can't wait to get rid of it, was basically really? What she summarized.
Why?
It's a nice car. Like the Teslas are nice cars. They're very, very fast, especially if you get some of the higher end ones. But just the charging of it. I mean, she went through the entire situation of like the agony of getting this thing charged every day because, you know, she doesn't work in a, she doesn't have the upgraded, she's renting a house, so she can't upgrade the electricity. So she can't charge it at home. So she has to stop coming into work every other day and park for 45 minutes. It does the, her whole life, I mean, honestly, it seemed like her whole life was based around how to charge this car. She plans 45-minute parts of her day where she works in her car so she can get the thing charged to get her through the next couple of days.
Oh my gosh.
It gets too hot. It
but
gets too cold.
There's seven charging stations that she could go to.
No, well,
seven.
There are a lot of charging stations around
Texas.
Sure,
the Tesla put in. Right.
I don't know why the government needs to be involved in this, of course.
Well, no, they're going to build them all across the country. He promised he was going to build them all across the country, and he's completed seven of them in 3 years.
Yeah.
In 3 years.
And that's great. And that's, I don't want to, I shouldn't downplay that. I keep wanting to downplay this.
Yes, it's not. But don't.
But she's saying that like she has run out, gone to zero on the battery multiple times and had the car towed because it just was impossible to time. Also, you come in Texas, you park your car outside, you work inside for several hours, you come back out, the battery's lower than when you came back in. So you have to factor that into your calculation every day. What is the percentage going to be when I come back out of my workplace?
Why?
Well, I mean, the car does some stuff while you're inside. Like, it can do... And some of that's great. Like, I was actually looking at an electric car when I couldn't get my car delivered for 14 months after I ordered it. And there's one electric car that I thought was really cool, and I was looking into it. And one of the things I liked about it was, in Texas... You know, having a car that can keep the interior temperature at like a cool 97 or something would be fantastic.
Right.
Because, you know, the whole thing where you're like, oh, I can start it up and let it run for a minute. Yeah, that doesn't really work. Like it's in Texas, you're just going to fry when you're in your car.
Seriously, you make very good pot roast on the dash of your
car. Yes, you absolutely can.
It's great.
So with an electric car, like some of them have the feature where you can turn it, you can basically set your temperature in advance and it cools with electricity and you don't have to worry about it. So there are some good features to it. There are reasons why electric cars are cool and can be great. However, like the hybrid sort of solves it. If you really care about that stuff, you can get both. And that's why I think a lot of these car companies now are saying, well, if we go the hybrid situation, we can appease the government officials. And like people who drive 10 miles to work can use electricity every day, probably plug it in and get that much mileage in. It's not a big deal. But when they want to go on a long trip, they can just use gas. And, you know, you're not going to get necessarily the sexiest car out of that situation in most circumstances.
So I will tell you that when I was in St. George, I don't know if you were there. No, you didn't show. What a surprise.
I went to your St. George, your art show. I was there.
It wasn't the art show. It was a museum.
Oh, I went to the art show in St. George. How many times do I have to go?
I haven't done an art show.
It was another place in Utah.
Yeah, good for you.
Right?
Good for
what
you.
What was it?
Park City. Very different than St. George. But anyway.
All I know is I showed up once to make fun of your art.
You should have come when we did the museum because I know a guy there who is the, I think he's the national... PR guy for McLaren.
Oh.
And I've never driven a McLaren. And
I would like to drive a McLaren.
Yeah. And so he said, hey, would you be willing to give my daughter's class a tour of the museum? And I said, sure. And then he said, oh. And I said, what do you mean, oh? And he's like, well, I was going to offer, you know, in exchange that, you know, you could drive a McLaren for a day. And I'm like,
whoa.
I'm not your daughter. No, I don't do those unless I'm
compensated properly.
Right. So he let me borrow it for a day.
Oh, my God.
It is all electric.
I hate you and your life.
I know.
Too many good things happen to you.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
No.
Because they don't happen to you. I like those
things more
because they don't happen for you.
You don't even care about half the stuff you do.
I don't. But anyway, so this McLaren, it runs all on electricity until it's like over 30 or 40 miles an hour. So if you're just driving
so
around
zero
town,
to 60
it's all
is,
yeah. So
or
it's
zero to 40.
All around town. It stays in electric, But once you punch it, it's crazy. It is the coolest thing ever. Because you feel like you're kind of in, I don't know. You remember when they used to turn the power packs on in Ghostbusters?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Remember it was like...
Yeah.
So once you hit a certain, maybe it's 40 miles, I can't remember, but you hit a certain amount and the engine warms up. And so the engine automatically starts and you hear it just go... Oh my gosh. And then it just is a rocket ship.
All I have to do is come up with a stupid museum and I'll get perks like this.
Do. That's all you have to do.
I'll put whatever they want on display. Yeah. I don't care. I'll make up fake documents from George Washington all day long.
It's a fun car. It's a fun car. And I don't have a problem with, you know, like hybrids or whatever. And if you want to have an electric car, an electric car. Don't wreck my life.
Right. And that's the problem, right? You know, like the Tesla Roadster they're talking about. I mean, he's been teasing this for years and years and years and years, Elon. But like, it looks awesome and it is incredible. Like he's merging it with SpaceX technology. Like they're going to put like rocket boosters on this thing. They think they can get the 0 to 60 time like near 1 second.
That's crazy.
Which is insane. I think it would hurt. I think you'd physically be injured by that.
Have you been launched in a Tesla?
Yeah, yeah.
It does. You feel your organs go, ow.
Yeah. It is actually jarring.
I think I bruised my stomach there. Just, you know what I mean? It's that fast.
So there's no reason why, look, technological advancements, we're all in favor of those. But what they're doing to make this happen, these things are not winning in the marketplace.
I got to tell you. You know, we have these. Have you ever been into the coffee and car show things that they do around here?
I haven't, no.
So they have this thing where it's just coffee and car on Saturday mornings. And you bring your car down and everybody just gets together and you're just with a bunch of car people and you're just talking and having a good time. I love it. Go all the time. Everybody who is into a car that I know of, everybody that's into a car, they are not into the electric anything.
No.
Because it's not... It's just not the same. It doesn't sound the same. It doesn't
feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same. These engines are, when they're done right, it is a piece of art. It is really just an amazing thing. And when you step on the gas and it sounds like it, when your wife, my wife said this to me, I got a car and, you know, it has a growl to it. And, when you step on it, you know, it just takes off. And then when you let your foot off the gas, it has to burn off all of the extra fuel that's in there. So it gives it that.
That's the greatest sound of all time.
Awesome American engine sound. And my wife got into it. And she's like, what the hell's wrong with this car? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Listen, what is wrong with the car? And I'm like, honey, I believe we might have paid extra for that sound. But there's just something to it, and especially American cars. Yeah. They're just so great. Stop wrecking it.
You know, it's almost like they're attacking our institutions and culture. I mean, I don't want to say that because there's not a lot of evidence of it.
You know, it's like... You know, it's almost like Barack knew that we would have to change our culture, our history.
And Barack knows that we are going to have to make sacrifices. We are going to have to change our conversation. We're going to have to change our traditions, our history. We're going to have to move into a different place.
My gosh, listen to that. It's like I heard that for the first time again just now. Listen, it was like when we first found this and played this, we were like, look, this is what they're going to do. This is what they're doing. Listen to it. We'll play it one more time.
Barack knows that we are going to have to make sacrifices.
Stop. We're going to have to make sacrifices. Is that not what we're doing right now? Everything that is happening to us, you're having to make a sacrifice.
Pay a little more here. You know, you're sure
don't
your gas is
this.
More expensive. Sure, you might not want an electric car, but you have to have one for the environment.
Give up what you actually believe because it's not what society is preaching.
Sure, yeah. You have to go along with that person who says they're a girl. Just go along with it.
So
sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Okay, next one.
We are going to have to change our conversations.
Stop. Change our conversations. Have we not changed
We don't have them anymore.
We don't have them.
You're not allowed to have them. When you have a conversation, you get canceled. I mean, that's like the preview of cancel culture, that one little sentence.
One sentence. Next.
We're going to have to change our traditions.
Our traditions. Easter is Trans Visibility Day. Next.
History, we're going to have to move.
Stop. We're going to have to change our history.
You can't change your history. That is physically impossible.
1619 yep. Project.
But they tried.
Right. They're still doing it, Stu. They're changing our history right now.
Yep.
If you don't have paper copies of our history, you will not be able to teach history. You won't be able to teach
not
history.
Real history.
Not real history. And then she says,
it's in a different place.
There's a move, to,
have
a
to, move into a different place.
To provide the kind of future that we all want.
This is not the future we all want. This is the future that they wanted. You don't have a choice. Look at, they're moving us now, World Economic Forum and everything else. They're moving us into a new place, a future that they all want. You're not even included. You're being told to sacrifice, to change your traditions, to change the way you eat, the way you think, the way you talk to each other.
You know, one thing we can't say is that we were not warned.
As always, they tell you exactly what they're going to do. History will look back on us just like they look back on the Germans and say, what the hell is wrong with them? You read the stuff. They told you. These people are telling us too. They're telling us what they're going to do, and then they're doing it, and they're almost done. Look at what's happening with war right now.